According to that good man, Dr. Martin Luther, good because he trusted in Christ and knew his sin. According to him, what ought to impel us and arouse us to pray is the fact that God has made and affirmed a promise, which is that what we pray is a certain and sure thing. As he says in Psalm 50, "Call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you." And Christ our Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew 7, "Ask, and it will be given you. For everyone who asks, receives." Such promises, Dr. Luther writes, certainly ought to awaken and kindle in our hearts a longing and a love for prayer. For by his word, God testifies that our prayer is heartily pleasing to him and will assuredly be heard and granted, so that we may not despise it, cast it to the winds, or pray uncertainly. You can hold such promises up to him and say, "Here I come, dear Father, and pray not of my own accord, nor because of my own worthiness, but at your command and promise, which cannot fail or deceive me." Those who do not believe such a promise should again realize that they are angering God, dishonoring him, and accusing him of lying. Furthermore, we should be encouraged and drawn to prayer because, in addition to this commandment and promise, God takes the initiative and puts into our mouths the very words and approach we are to use. In this way, we see how deeply concerned he is about our needs, and we should never doubt that such a prayer pleases him and will assuredly be heard. So this Lord's Prayer is far superior to all others that we might devise ourselves. For in that case, our conscience would always be in doubt, saying, "I have prayed, but who knows whether it pleases him or whether I have hit upon the right form and mode." Thus there is a nobler prayer, there is no nobler prayer to be found on the earth, for it has the powerful testimony that God loves to hear it. This we should not trade for all the riches in the world. This we must know, that all our safety and protection consists in prayer alone. For we are far too weak against the devil and all his might and forces arrayed against us, trying to trample us underfoot. Therefore, we must keep this in mind and grasp the weapons with which Christians are to arm themselves for resisting the devil. What do you think has accomplished such great results in the past, parrying the counsels and plots of our enemies and checking their murderous and seditious designs by which the devil expected to crush us, and the gospel as well? Except that the prayers of a few godly people intervened like an iron wall on our side. Otherwise, they would have seen a far different frame. The devil would have destroyed all of Germany in its own blood. Now, they may confidently laugh and make their snide comments, but by prayer alone, we shall be a match both for them and for the devil, if only we persevere and do not become weary. For whenever a good Christian prays, "Dear Father, your will be done," God replies from above, "Yes, dear child, it shall be done indeed, in spite of the devil and all the world." Let this be said then as an admonition, in order that we may learn above all to value prayer as a great and precious thing, and may properly distinguish between vain babbling and asking for something. By no means do we reject prayer, but we do denounce the utterly useless howling and growling, as Christ himself rejects and forbids great wordiness. We treat the Lord's Prayer clearly. 7 successive articles, petitions, comprehending all the needs that continually beset us, each one so great that we should be impelled to keep praying it all of our lives. From Dr. Luther's large catechism, Introduction to the Lord's Prayer.